The Waddle and Sylvie podcast is brought to you by Marquee Sports Network.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
Party mode, Bears and Rams, Monday Night Football tonight. The bright lights of the national stage will be shined on these two teams again. The games have been competitive. I don't know how pretty they've been.
They've been defense-oriented.
Yes, yes.
For sure.
And Michael, no one's saying not to win without defense. We love defense. We just want to pair a great offense with that, yeah, too.
Let me ask you something. How long you're a lot younger than me, and you've been here a long time. I've been literally following this team since I was five. So that was the 63 championship series, and then the year beyond that, and really when Sayers and Buckus got drafted. That's 1965. That's 56 years, Sylvie. It hasn't been any different. And it's not going to be. There's certain things about certain franchises. You go back. You can look at what the Lakers do. Look at who they get. They trade for stars. This is how they play. And it's been that way since they were in Minneapolis. Well, there's a reason that some things happen that way. And you can say, well, why would it happen that way? Well, the owner of the team is still a continuation of George Halas. It's Virginia McCaskey. There's a thread of DNA that runs through Chicago Bears football. And so I don't believe it's going to change in my lifetime.
I look at like teams, and I know they've done it differently, and the Packers have done it with great quarterbacks through their years. But if you can win in an outdoor stadium in a northern city like the Green Bay Packers or the Pittsburgh Steelers, these great historic franchises who have an awesome history like we do, and they can do it with some great quarterbacks through the history,
The Steelers have only had two.
To what?
Great quarterbacks.
Yeah, but they keep the same coach. They've only had three coaches in their history. Four with Bradshaw. And how many with Roethlisberger? Three now?
Two wins and three trips.
He's gone to three.
So there's your six Super Bowls all right there.
You know, like in like Green Bay goes from Starr to Favre to Rodgers. I mean, like, it can be done. It's just, I don't think that this is our history by choice. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
History is never by choice. History is we're captured by it.
Yeah, but Mike, think about it. 4 years ago, our general manager decides that the right guy for this franchise might throw everyone off the scent.
Yeah.
Is a young man who played one season at North Carolina. Yeah. He had the opportunity to take the kid from Clemson, who on the biggest stage and under the brightest lights, against virtually a professional defense, ripped them to shreds. And then there's this other kid at Texas Tech that
who once put up 800 yards in a game.
So we had a chance.
Yeah, but we don't.
It wasn't like we were drafting 31st and they were drafted ahead of us.
But wait a minute. The arrogance of the front office is also part of the Bears' history.
Well, I know, but that's not a predetermined destiny. It can't be.
But it's as much a part of it as... Look, also, let me be fair to the guys I just sort of maligned. I mean, how many franchises go from Sayers to Peyton? From Gallimore to Sayers to Peyton? How many do that? How many go, more importantly, from, you know, Butkus to Buffon to Singletary to Urlacher? And now Mack, they went and got a guy to maintain a line of history that we haven't had. And I'd even deal with the great defensive players before that, like Bill George. And I mean, so
we want both. We don't just want one side of the ball.
How many franchises get both?
I don't know, but
the good ones,
the Steelers, well, the best ones, the Steelers have had both. Not a plethora, but they've had both. The Kansas City Chiefs haven't had all that much. They haven't. They got it now. Once again, the arrogance of our front office people, and we've had that. We have had that before. We know we had it in the previous regime. So, you know, when you have that, when that's part of your DNA too, you miss. And one time we just got unlucky. The whole thing with Terry Bradshaw. Yeah, I just you know, Mark, you and Tommy have to have Terry Bradshaw on to tell you about him thinking he was going to be a Bear.
That was a coin flip, just like Magic Johnson, right?
Yes. How about that? think of the number of the difference in championships. Now, obviously, we made out okay at the end of that the Magic era. But Magic and Terry Bradshaw, that's 9 championships. But the Bradshaw went on a fishing trip thinking he was going to be chosen by the Bears because Halas was going to select him. Terry just told me this story in January. It's like the greatest story that a Bear fan could ever hear, and it's also, it's terrifying. But you got to get Terry to tell you the story. Only Terry, in his own way, can do justice to what he thought his life was going to be in Chicago as a Bears quarterback.
This is why Sylvie always, and people say, Sylvie, get over it. And I'm not one of them because, Sylvie, I don't think you should wake up in the morning and go to bed at night thinking about it, but having it as part of your football process, the fact that they missed so badly 4 years ago at the most important position in all of sports keeps you awake at night.
You guys are preaching to the choir. When did I start this?
A long time ago.
I started this the night of the draft. And I felt bad. I introduced myself to Mitch he was at a Bulls game. He was the nicest guy.
He got booed that night.
He got booed. I just said, no, stop it. You don't boo him.
Well, it's not his fault that Ryan Pace drafted him second.
But you know where I've been on Ryan Pace. So, I mean.
You don't feel any better about the coach right now either, do you?
I actually do feel better about the coach.
Yeah, he surprised me, Waddle. When we had him on Wednesday last week, I thought he was going to come for Nagy, and he didn't.
Yeah, I because part of me's got to get used to, just like I long ago got used to the fact that we're not having a quarterback. We're just not. I'm going to go to the grave, and this is going to be what we got.
Boy, you didn't think you'd get a Cubs championship, though, either, and you did.
Well, I had to have a heart attack first before I got that.
I have another one, and it'll be okay for the sake of the Bears, Mike, for the sake of the Bears.
I mean, come on. So, people went 108 years. I mean, talk about DNA in this town. You want to say, oh, we got to have? Really? You're a Cub fan? We don't got
to
have nothing. Neither do Sox fans.
Because
they went 85 before we went 108 or whatever the numbers were.
I'd like to have a quarterback.
We're not having a quarterback. We're just not. I'm okay with it. If we keep drafting, if we keep having defenses and specials and great players like Devin Hester, some people, they don't get one of those. We had Gale Sayers and Devin Hester, two of the three greatest return men in the history of the NFL.
But
with
Mike,
Deion being the other one.
Correct me if I'm wrong. When the Ravens won the Super Bowl and Trent Dilfer was their quarterback,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
But wasn't Jamal Lewis a 2,000-yard rusher?
Yes, he was.
So, like, we not only don't have the quarterback, but we can't.
Okay, but we might, and we've had the equivalent. Walter gained 1,800 yards in a 14-game season.
That's true.
All right, so we have had that. We've had it. And I was happy with the way Neil Anderson was going, even though everybody's saying Barry Sanders. Obviously, Barry Sanders was an all-timer.
Neil was fantastic.
Neil was great.
Yeah.
And so, and he was one of the early pass-catching backs.
Yes.
It was kind of a Marcus Allen model that he was out on. And so anyway, we have had that back. I feel fortunate. I mean, I had a lot of reflection on this when Gale Sayers passed. And I was a kid, and I felt cheated when I was 11, 12 years old, and Gale had to retire because of his injuries. And then we got the greatest mulligan of all time. We got Walter.
You're making me feel guilty for being greedy and wanting the quarterback
you're not greedy.
No,
I've resigned myself to we're not getting the quarterback. I don't even know if we're
getting. How about if we get one every, 30 years? It doesn't
year. We've gone 60.
Right.
Well, every 30.
I'm just saying, we went through a stretch, but now in 2017, here we go. This is our chance. We're picking third.
You tell me who the executives are, then I can, if I get a glimpse of them.
Isn't it amazing, too, because somebody was asking me, why are the Steelers so good? I said, I got two words for you, and you probably don't know what they are. Kevin Colbert. And he's been the guy in their front office, their general manager, player personnel guy that probably nobody knows anything about. And look at what he's been able to do putting those rosters together.
What's
year
a secret
after year?
Sauce? Because in baseball, everyone started copying it. Why haven't others copied what Kevin Colbert's been able to do?
I honestly just think it's a guy who's got a tremendous eye for football positions. Like, who would have thought T.J. Watt would have been the player that he is? Because he's the best pass rusher in football right now, I think, statistically and grade-wise, ahead of even Khalil Mack and Myles Garrett. I think they're kind of all in the same group.
Their front office is smarter, Sylvia.
Yeah.
It's a smarter front office. And you can do this You can play this game in every sport.
Look at the receivers that they
I think
throw.
It matters more in football. I think it matters more in football than the others. In basketball, every single person is going to sit down and tell you that, you know, I don't even want to use the Jordan comparison, but I mean, if you're doing it now, you know, you're going to sit down, you're going to figure out who the top seven people are. And three of them won't work out, but they were the top seven people, and maybe they needed to be in a different circumstance. You didn't have to be a genius to know that Tim Duncan was going to work out. Was he going to work out as well as he did practicing against David Robinson and playing for Pop every day? No, not necessarily. But in football, I think these things are harder. I think structure of the franchise and stability and smart coaches, I think all those things. And I think there have been times where the Bears front offices have had other agendas. And they weren't the best front office. But the front office that, I mean, Vinizzi and those guys, the guys who put together, look at the draft picks in 82.
Yeah.
81, 82, 83, 84, 85.
Finks, right?
Finks, look at that. Look at that.
That's that legendary. Roster across
That's
the board.
Legendary.
On both sides of the ball.
It was brilliant. So they are accepted from what we're talking about now.
That's Dent in the eighth round, isn't that?
Dent, yeah. That you was the same year as was that Willie Gault year 83? How many guys can you get in 1 year who contribute that heavily to a championship? That's insane.
I think Mark Borch was a defensive lineman at Iowa.
They moved him to guard.
But I think that he came in as a defensive, Jim Big Cat Williams, who had a great career here. Big Cat was a defensive lineman out of Cheney State.
Well, but see, we still know how to do that. The people who come in here recognize those. Look, let me also say this as somebody who covered a franchise that won three Super Bowls in the time I was covering for the Washington
Post.
Can
I sell you Adam Shaheen in the second round? Can I give that?
What about Kevin White?
Kevin
seven
White in
overall.
The first round.
Yeah, okay. No.
Okay, I was on that. That angered me more than anything else. But let me go back to the Washington football team. They were the Washington Redskins. Joe Gibbs didn't need a great quarterback. Like, he lost Joe. He lost Theismann. Theismann's late prime of his career had already won one and been to two. And Joe was going to probably take him to more, and he got the broken leg. Joe Gibbs kept right on rolling. He kept right on rolling. He reclaimed, you know, Doug Williams, a guy who had gone to the other league, the USFL, but he was Joe Gibbs's guy. And Gibbs went and got him back. And then he won with Stan Humphries, and he won with
Jay
Mark
Schrader,
Rippon,
Mark
and he won
Rippon.
With Dre Schrader. You don't. So I got over the period of you have to have a great quarterback. Aaron Rodgers has won one. Huh? You know, not. I don't believe that's his fault. I believe we're seeing right now that Aaron won despite his head coach and despite some of the front office decisions.
Yeah. He may be one and done in Dallas. McCarthy.
He may be half a season and done in Dallas, depending on how angry Jerry is. But. You don't need – there's plenty of great quarterbacks who won one. There are plenty of great quarterbacks who won none. I mean, we are so now brainwashed in the era of Tom Brady. There are people – I mean, Dan Marino got to one Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And that was rookie year, right?
Yes.
Or rookie or second year.
Yeah.
So I don't go to bed or wake up lamenting the lack of a quarterback. If we go about it the same way we've gone about it and won those other championships or got close other times, I'd be fine with that.
All right, so I want to know, coming up next, with the quarterback that we have currently in this game, what you're expecting.
Tonight.
If you want to talk to us, 312-332-3776. I also pulled up that 1983 draft. Wait till you guys hear it. Like, it's just worth repeating. It probably is one of the greatest draft classes in the history of American sports. So we'll tell you all about that coming up next.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Michael Wilbon, our good friend, in our first Midwest Bank studio with Waddle. Phone number to reach is 312-332-3776.
Can I tell you that Mike's brought to you by HawkAuto.com, Ford, Chevy, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Subaru, Cadillac, Mazda, and VW. All in one place, HawkAuto.com, where Chicagoland saves big.
Saves big!
Here's the 83 draft. He drafted two Hall of Famers, Jim Finks did. So it started out with Jimbo Covert, Hall of Famer, with the sixth overall pick.
Team of the 90s? Wasn't he one of the members of the team of the 90s?
Willie Gault, the 18th overall pick. So you get a, a, a burner at wide receiver. In the second round, you get a corner in Mike Richardson.
Starters. LA Mike. Three Super Bowl game starters.
Yep. Dave Duerson, your starting safety, was drafted in the third round out of Notre Dame. Speaking of Notre Dame, Tom Thayer, your longtime starting guard, was drafted in the fourth round.
Super Bowl starters.
Yes. And then in the eighth round, you talk about a double dip in the eighth round. They don't even have an they don't even have an eighth round anymore. Richard Dent out of Tennessee, we drafted with the eighth round selection, and Mark Bortz drafted.
What are we
the
up to?
Round.
Seven. We're up to seven Super Bowl starters from one draft.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's incredible. Then you know some other players, but again, that
who else?
That's the foundation.
Okay, like, was anybody else on the team? Are there other guys?
Like Pat Dunsmore made the
Pat
team.
Pat Dunsmore's on
the
team.
Yeah, he was a tight end. But other than that, Rob Fayda. Do you know Rob Fayda?
I don't know.
Was it F A Y D A? How does he spell
that? That was a ninth round pick. F A D A.
D A. Okay.
Listen, I'm gonna give Mr. Finks a break for that one, considering what he did with the other
seven
ones.
Seven Super Bowl starters in one draft. You know what? In the Super Bowl era, that may never have been done. I mean, I know that Jimmy Johnson might have done it, actually.
Yeah.
But by then, the draft had been cut, because that's whatever. That's like 6-7 years later. Jimmy Johnson could have done it. Maybe the Steelers did it in like, I don't know, 75 or 76. I have to go through, but that's a stunning draft.
Weren't Aikman and Michael Irvin in the same draft? I know Aikman was 89. It was the same year I came out, but I thought Michael was drafted in that round or that year as well. I'm not sure.
Either 88 or 89. I mean, but that you look at that. So am I going to take that or am I going to worry about a quarterback? Sorry, I'm going to take that.
Well, the problem is we haven't gotten either. We've never had a draft like that in recent years.
Could have been Mahomes and Kamara. In the because you know, do you know the history, Mike, that, and I know this probably wouldn't have happened, but with the third round pick that Ryan Pace traded to San Francisco to go from 3 to 2, San Francisco took that third round pick and traded it to New Orleans. And with the Bears' third round pick on the trade up,
New Orleans
drafted Alvin Kamara.
Well, I mean, you look, when you make a dumb decision and then you have to cover it. It's just doubly dumb and destructive. And even if, and by the way, even if you don't pick Mitch, it has nothing to do with Mitch. It has to do with making a bad decision and then doubling down through arrogance on your own stupidity. That is what bothers me much more than we don't have a quarterback. I know the result was out of that, we didn't get a quarterback. But what was worse is you traded away the other picks. If you had spent the second pick, what did they have anyway? They had what was the pick they had before the trade up?
Third.
So you got the third pick, and then you have your third round pick. You have the other two picks. Use them on players that should be starters and Pro Bowlers. Just do that.
And, Mike, when you go from 3 to 2, you're like, this is a guarantee. What you're telling people is, I'm going to make an unprecedented deal to go from 3 to 2 because I know this one guy that we're going to take is going to make it and the two others aren't. And not only could you could not have been more wrong about that. Like, if say someone would have stole your lunch money and gone to 2. Okay, so you're left with who? You're left with one of the two other guys.
That's
if someone came up for Watson, you know, he is basically telling you, I'm going from 3 to 2 because I'm telling you that Trubisky's the only guy of this draft at the quarterback spots who are going
to
be good.
All you got to do, you know what I'm going to get you guys to do? I may come in and do it myself one day, old-fashioned research. I'm going to go back and get all the clips from the 2 or 3 months after the draft in which I was nuts about this. And you guys were telling me,
you into it.
Stay calm. And I said to you, no. This is bad. You know, if you trade these picks away, you are trading away. I mean, I always learned. Look, I covered Bobby Bethard, one of the great draft guys of all time, after the first round. Bethard never had a first round pick because he always traded it. But in the second, third, and the fifth, and the seventh, and the ninth, he'd get all these players. And he would talk about what the pick should be in the second round, what a pick should be in the third round, top half of the third, bottom half of the third, what a pick should be in the fourth round. And they used those picks and got Super Bowl players too. And so when the Bears traded that pick away, I'm just like, really? You're saying, just what Tommy said, I'm going to kill this draft and we're going to kill it the next 5 years because I got this guy.
And they had to give up a fourth to get Nick Foles in here.
and they gave away $18 million to pay for a quarterback.
See, now, yeah, now we're on the same page with the quarterback angst.
Yes.
I have angst over the personnel decisions. Not that it's just pertaining to quarterback. If we had paid other people...
You're zooming out. I'm zooming in.
Yeah, I've lived here too long. I've been a fan too long. I don't expect in my lifetime to ride the right or left arm of a great passing quarterback.
So more immediately now, are you expecting significant improvement from Nick Foles going forward? No. The more time he spends with this team?
Some improvement. I don't expect him to become wildly consistent. That's not his history. Right?
People confuse, I'm adamant about this. Everyone talks about the team he led in Philly to win the Super Bowl. People don't realize how good that offensive line was.
Yeah, great.
He had three or four guys that had eight touchdown catches or more.
Yeah.
They ran the ball for 4.5 yards per carry.
They were loaded. They had a loaded team.
They had a much better team.
Well, I don't know much better than this team. I think there's some personnel on this team because as much as we just hit pace, I think he's made some other great decisions in places. But I don't expect Foles to light it up. No, I expect if Foles can be what he is right now, just be this the rest of the season. I think the Bears can go 11-5 if he can be healthy and in the lineup, and they do this and they play this way, and the head coach has an epiphany and understands he's got a studly second year running back. Use him. You know, somebody ought to do. They ought to drop a canister of just great Bear running backs, a canister of old-fashioned film on his desk, and say, hey, don't you dare leave the building until you watch this.
Mike,
and you
he's
understand.
The guy against the Saints, as Sylvie always said, ran a franchise-low rushing attempts on Walter Payton bobblehead day against the Saints.
Then you know what? Let me tell you what I'm much more in favor of. And we got into this a few years ago. I made you guys look it up. And you said to me, oh, wait a minute. You're judging them now. You got to judge them down the road. No, I told you. NFL head coaching is close to laughable relative to where it was in 1985. I'm just picking 85 because the Bears won. You could go 1995.
This is your favorite argument.
Yes. All you got to do.
You bring this up every week.
Okay, well, what are we talking about? We're talking about right now a head coach who's arrogant and I want to win my way could get this team in trouble. We're talking about Dallas and whether or not this guy's in the hot seat. You want to go around the league? My point is head coaching in the NFL now is largely awful. Gaze. Awful, Sylvie. Now, I've been on this for about 5 years now, and I want some credit on this one. I didn't get the credit on Ryan Pace on draft day. We're like, how many years are we down the road? 5 years? How many years?
Year four.
Okay. Yeah. I want some credit. This head coach thing, just do it. Go through the standings and look. Andy Reid right now, by comparison, Andy Reid was always really good, but we thought of him as sort of a Marty Schottenheimer 2.0. Andy Reid is now Vince Lombardi compared to today's coaches.
It's fair. I mean, you've got, you don't have Bill O'Brien anymore in Houston. You've got Doug Marrone in Jacksonville.
I said this to Waddle. I don't think you were here. I said Belichick, Reid, and Peyton. Now, it may not measure,
I'm not
but they're
Peyton
still
in that category.
They're still good coaches in these league.
Of course, there are. I'm not saying it's 0-32 teams.
But do you remember when we would kill Andy Reid for clock management issues and other things?
Yeah, but that was a long. That was 15 years ago when he was going up against the end of probably maybe not Gibbs and Parcells, but I mean that division in Jimmy Johnson. That you'd have multiple Hall of Fame
then.
Coaches in one division. And now you're looking at it going, I got multiple guys in one division I'd like to run out. Why does a guy in Minnesota still have a job? Are you kidding me?
He just signed an extension, I think. Didn't Mike Zimmer sign an extension
Come
in the offseason?
Man. Come on.
I think so.
This is unexamined. And it goes unexamined by all the great minds and talkers about the NFL because they won't do it. They'll do it in other sports. People will rip the NBA coaches. They will rip Major League Baseball managers. They will fire NHL guys at the end of the second period. They change hockey coaches out like you can't believe. This guy won 2 years ago, get him out. But in pro football, people just want to love pro football so much that they don't look at it critically enough. And when they do, it's to blame some players, it's to trash somebody for the butt fumble. It's not to really look at the top of the pyramid and say, really, is that guy good enough?
Let me ask you, I want to ask you when we come back more about Matt Nagy, because I want to throw something at you. I also want to play this old DJ game with you two. I've got a story, and you have to tell me, is this story a fake story that I made up, or is it real?
Going back to his East Dubuque days when he was spinning
records. They used to do this on B96. Like, yeah, I got a wacky story. Is this true or false?
A Florida man.
Florida or Ohio.
Yeah, Jobo.
I've got this story. You guys have to tell me if it's true or false. Right. Will Bond's in studio. It's Waddle and Sylvie talking Bears and Rams on ESPN 1000.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
Yeah. Thing that I love about Michael Wilbon is no matter how long he's been on television, no matter how big he's gotten, he's still that sports kid from the South Side who loves him sports. He loves talking sports. And, I don't think you've ever changed. I haven't known you for a long, long time, but for the many years that I have, you're still that diehard sports fan to his core.
Yeah.
And you like to just talk sports. And it's why, like, you just texted Waddle and me. We were talking about the Bears on their last game, and you're like, hey, can I come in on Monday when the Bears play? And, like, this is something that you still love to do, and you just want to talk.
Well, I love to do it more than all the newfangled garbage that's out there. There's just a lot of stuff that's – I don't care about some of this stuff and what people talk about. And you see PTI, you see what we like to talk about.
Right.
And it's not as sexy.
It's not
going to
be a hot take.
Yeah, it's not a hot take. It's two people who covered sports for a long time. Together, the two of us covered sports for 70 years in locker rooms. I miss that because I know that's where you learn stuff. And talking to assistant coaches and talking to trainers and talking to players who aren't stars.
Can you get the access today that you did back then, though? You can.
Yeah. Well, you can't get the access to the stars, but I don't care about that. Like, you know.
I think you learn more from assistant coaches. I agree with you than you do.
And front office people who've been around for 40 years who sit in their office until 1 o'clock in the morning trying to figure out the smallest thing to help the team on Sunday, right?
Yeah.
And you listen to those people tell stories. And assistant, yes. Some nights, Sylvie, some of my favorite nights in my life are after a game, an NBA playoff game, going to talk to Hubie Brown. Hubie's holding court. And people we got nachos. And there's like, you can have Hall of Famers there in addition to sports writers, right? But Charles took me to one of these. And Charles says, let's go with Hubie. And I'm like, what are we doing? He goes, we're going to just go listen to Hubie. And you order some nachos. And there's Charles. And there's an assistant
trainer.
Well,
there's Charles. There aren't any nachos left.
There's not many left. And we're sitting around. And you, after a playoff game, and you do this. And maybe there's Steve Smith. Or maybe, you know what I mean? There's guys that you recognize, who some who played, some who didn't, some who were famous, some who weren't. Legler and his guys.
Yeah.
And you sit and you listen and you realize at 2 o'clock in the morning, you've just had 3 hours. It's like a graduate school seminar. And whatever you thought you knew before you listened to Hubie, you didn't know. And it's not just Hubie. It could be Tommy Heinsohn. It could be any of these guys that was Norm Van Leer. You guys caught sort of the end of Norm. Like sitting around with Norm after a game, after a Bulls game. It's a highlight. So I care about stuff like that that people – people don't even want to do. They want to tell you their stats, and they want to give you their analytics. I don't care about that garbage, because most of those guys don't know how to watch a game or listen to a coach or listen to a player or understand what a player is trying to get across. And my time's coming over soon, because nobody wants to hear that. They want to hear more analytics. They want to hear he was the fourth youngest assistant quarterback to ever throw 3 touchdown passes on a Tuesday night when the moon was full. And I want to beat the hell out of that person who says that. And I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in, I like talking to you guys. We don't have any of that crap.
I want to share this with you. You guys tell me if this is true or false, okay? I'm violating a rule that I just tweeted out yesterday, okay? But this is too good to pass up. Conference call with Cowboys defensive coordinator Mike Nolan has been put on hold because he had Tabasco sauce on his finger and it got stuck in his eye. You can't make this stuff up. That's from Clarence Hill's Twitter page. Am I making this up or not?
That's real.
That seems too odd for it to not be correct.
You'd have to
correct. Really
have an imagination. Yeah. You've got to be a fiction writer.
22 minutes ago. That was tweeted. All the Cowboys writers
Clarence
are tweeting
knows.
About.
Clarence
they're
knows
talking to this defense. Mike Nolan, who may have been
Mike Nolan, who worked for the Washington football team. I got to know Mike.
Very Mike was the head coach of the 49ers for a while. He was a guy that used to wear suits on the sideline.
One of the last, huh?
Yeah.
And so yes,
very nice man.
They were wondering if he was going to resign as defensive coordinator, or and then the next thing you know, he's having it delayed because he had Tabasco sauce in his eye.
Well, you know what? I wouldn't just point at him. How about whoever's responsible for the offensive guys that stood there and watched Andy Dalton
when
roll
Andy
around?
When Andy Dalton went down, I started thinking about great Bears teams and even the bad Bears teams. It would have been three
Jimbo
guys
Covert
out there
would have taken somebody and bent them into a pretzel.
When he's on the way off the field, he's fair game at that point.
Yeah.
To me, he's just walking off muttering, sorry. Look, the Cowboys are, this is another media thing. People now just want to talk about what they think is going to get them clicks. The Dallas Cowboys aren't worth that much conversation all
Not
spring
at all. That's what
summer.
I tweeted about, Michael.
And this is
like,
just
do better.
Garbage, man.
It's just
and these
lazy.
Guys will tell you, oh, the Cowboys are garbage. They're not worth this conversation. They're not worth this much attention. But you, the people who are doing the storytelling in mainstream and social media are just lazy. They don't know what a story is. A story is whatever is easy pickings for them to get out there and get after, like the Dallas Cowboys. The fact that, think of how much time was lost with people talking about the Cowboys this spring.
Oh, all spring.
Spent.
Yeah. All summer. Yeah. Crazy. All right, so what are we going to see today, guys? Bears and Rams, this is, like I said earlier, this is a game that's had some national cachet. The last 2 years, I believe it was both times
Sunday night
football.
Yeah.
Now it's Monday night, and it's not like this pretty offense where they're lighting things up like some of the other games, but it's got some high-profile defensive players. It's got a couple of interesting coaches. Do you guys believe this is going to be one of those games, again, that goes down to the wire?
I do. I have the Bears losing 17-16. I think this is – people want to look at the Rams and they say, Sean McVay, look at that offense. It's, you know, their defense is more accomplished than their offense.
Yes,
they're
is.
Top five in yards allowed and points allowed. I think it's going to be another slugfest where neither quarterback is at his best when you ask him to drop back 35, 40 times. Neither quarterback wants to do that. So who can establish the run better and who can stop the run better? I say that the Los Angeles Rams do a better job at establishing the run and taking pressure off of their quarterback. Hence, that's why I have them winning by a single digit.
If the game is a close game, I think the Bears win. If it's a single-digit game, a single-point game, if it's close, if it's less than a touchdown, I think the Bears win. If the Rams get up on them and put Foles in a position of having to do what we don't want to see him do, Tommy, then I think the Rams win. If it's a 28-14 kind of game, I think the Rams win that game. But if it's a slugfest, and when I say slugfest, I don't mean a bunch of points. I don't mean that. I mean if the Bears' defense, they've been able to, in the game 2 years ago, they were able to figure him out. And it was a different team, a lot of different personnel, actually. And how much does Nagy regard his own running game and the need to establish it and stay with it?
Listen, teams have had success running the ball. The Rams give up 4.5 yards per carry. And the best way to slow down their pass rush is to run the football at them.
But he doesn't want to do that.
He'd be wise to do it tonight.
And if it fails early, then
he's
going to
go right away from
trigger. Yes.
He does, man. This is when you need an old-fashioned guy who got old-fashioned football values that says, you know, we're going to stay with this. And even if we're getting 3.2 yards a carry, we're going to do it anyway. And we're going to do it particularly in the fourth quarter because now if we're talking a slugfest, it's going to be – you ever seen the defense that has not been tired? If you're running the ball in them and you start to stretch it out and go from 2.7 yards a carry to 3.5 to 3.9 to 4.1, what happens in the fourth quarter?
Did you see how tired the Seahawks defense was last night at the end of that game?
But you know what? When you have all these guys who believe – the description of their offensive systems and themselves as something that's special, I don't want them to be special. I want the result to be special.
This is just not the team, in my humble opinion. I think it's a bad matchup for the Bears because the Rams are stout at the line of scrimmage. Their offensive line is healthy and playing better. Goff has only been sacked 7 times. So that coach protects his quarterback with the running game and how he does it.
Who did the Bears just sack a bunch of times who hadn't been sacked much at all either?
Teddy Bridgewater.
Teddy. I mean, they got after him, and he had not been sacked much.
I don't expect McVay to leave his quarterback exposed to this Bears pass rush. That to me is the biggest. Will Matt Nagy stick with running the football? Now, I'm not saying like you never throw it.
No.
But will you stay with it enough to try and get your front five going a little bit with a little confidence and get your running back going a little bit to try to take some pressure off your quarterback?
Because there's nothing that suggests he will. There's nothing so far in what he's done in his career as head coach to suggest he'll do that. But I still – there's no appreciable difference in special teams, is there?
No, not really. And like, so I don't think their kicker is very accomplished. I think they kept the same guy.
And so, you know, we're looking at a
– Are you talking about the Rams? They just signed Kai Forbath off the Bears practice squad.
But aren't they going to play the guy that they had?
Oh, are they?
I thought they were.
The more this game stretches out, the more it worries me. If we start to get separation between the two teams, I think that favors the Rams. I think in a close slog-it-out game – I think the Bears also feel pretty confident now, having won several of those, that they can play that game in Los Angeles.
Yeah, because like the Tampa game started off awful.
It did.
But then the next thing you know, by halftime, the Bears were up 14-13. So it's going to be interesting. I don't have a good feel for this one at all. I'm still picking the Bears. I want to talk more about it. Michael Wilbon, this has been Can't Miss Radio. He's with us for another segment. We'll make our predictions. I know Waddle gave us his. I still got to ask Wilbon about Matt Nagy. It's all coming up next.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
All right, we got the inactives, and a big player for the Rams is out there, tight end Tyler Higbee.
Yeah, he's got a hand injury, I think.
He is inactive for tonight's game. The Bears have no surprises. You know, as we expected, even though he was questionable, is Khalil Mack going to play? Now, the question is, does this back injury that caused him to miss practice and be limited on Saturday, will that cause him to not be as effective?
Or is this a little hanky-panky where the Bears are kind of like, oh, you know what, Khalil's not 100%, maybe you'll let your guard down. You know how these coaches are. They think they're all hiding national security
issues.
He didn't practice Thursday. I know.
What is somebody as great as Khalil Mack missing a
on a Friday?
What happens on a Friday practice? It's now like junior
walkthrough. These days, you're only allowed to have so many padded practices. So my guess is a Friday practice now is helmets and jerseys with really nothing.
Yeah.
I don't think that would be my guess.
I just don't want his back to limit him.
I'm with you.
If he went all week without practicing and was healthy, I'm fine.
Yeah.
But I'm worried that the back is an issue, and that's why he was held out that one day. All right, so we got that, and Waddle, you have a giveaway, don't you?
Yeah, the nuttiest story of the day brought to you by Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, a night with Screwball.
And it's bound to get a little bit nutty.
That's right. We have a gift. Don't we have a gift card, Adam, to Commonwealth Tavern in Roscoe Village?
$200. $200 because I forgot to give it away on Friday.
What the? Okay.
I mean,
what do we want? Caller number
20.
312-332-3776.
332-3776. We were talking about coaching earlier, Mike, and like we go back and forth on Matt Nagy. I still think he's a great culture guy. I think he's a good leader. I like him as a head coach, and I look at the record, and I don't love him as a play caller, though. That's the difference. But the record, like, how far do we take it where the record is 25-13? I mean, he's nearly doubled the amount of wins and losses.
It's a greatest start through this number of games. It's even better than Coach Halas, isn't it? Did I see that correctly?
Ditka. I know that since the best record since George Halas.
They like playing for him. He's been effective in that way. And I think you have to start when you look at the record at that. And then you can get into other areas in which you say, okay, wait a minute. I'm not particularly happy about this area, but the bottom line is, what is a head coach's record? And he has an enviable
with you. I'm with you,
record as a head coach.
I resisted the thought of him giving play calling duties up because I wanted, he was brought here not just to create a culture, but to revolutionize the offense. They've got four games between now and the bye. If their offense doesn't improve fairly significantly, I would become an advocate of them allowing somebody else to call the plays.
How likely is he to?
Probably the likelihood of that is 4%.
Yeah,
and that's generous.
I've heard the same thing.
Yeah, I can't imagine him doing that. And I just think that these two games, they can get one of these next two games at Rams and against the Saints. One of these next two, you know, would put them at 6-2 and would put them in a really good position. If somebody told you in July the Bears would be 6-2,
oh yeah,
going into, you know, in November, in the first week of November, you'd say, I'll take that.
Yeah, I always say that to Waddle, Michael, that I look at the next four and get to two. You know,
go two and two
over the next four.
Agreed.
And then, you know, you've got some time to make some hay there, where then the schedule gets a little softer.
But it doesn't really, because the Lions are now better than they were when the Bears got outplayed by them the first time.
Right.
But the Bears are better.
The Titans aren't going to be an easy game for them in Nashville.
You got two Green Bay games.
Yeah.
I mean, so this
You got Jacksonville in there.
Yeah,
like, I'm talking about after this chunk of four. The Vikings aren't
good. The Vikings are where you got to take advantage of that.
Right, yes.
Twice.
Yes. So, and because the West is really good. And those teams right now, you've got four good teams. Will they beat each other up? That's why the Bears need to continue to win, especially here if you give the Rams a win and you lose this game with head-to-head.
I want to be energized. What I want is to be optimistic. I want to be enthusiastic. I want to be, you know, more than optimistic. And that, for me, that only happens if I see significant improvement from their offense.
Tommy, I'm going to give you this. You have been consistent about your concern and your answer to this for well over a year. You talked about this early last season, and you were right. Like, can you identify that improvement? I don't know.
We don't know. Just
this
asked
is tonight.
For average.
Isn't tonight?
It's another test.
Yeah, I mean a big test, like a big picture test. Are they better? Like I believe in that old coach's adage: first you win, and then you get better. And they won those three games. You go, how in the hell did they win those three games? And then, you know, you beat Tom Brady and you beat Carolina, which you won three straight games.
All
of
good stuff.
And you feel better about what's going on. Now, tonight, it might be a referendum on sort of what, you know, where they are as a complete team.
The example I'd give you is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And the Bears beat them.
They did.
But if you're a Bucs fan, are you more confident than a Bears fan with how far you can go? And I know Tom Brady is their quarterback, but it's their offense that, I mean, that takes you to a new level of optimism.
But as we've just discussed, we're not, that's not, that's
that ain't
not
us.
Path.
That ain't us.
Our path to serious contention is not going to be on the wing of, you know,
that bums me out, though. I'm so tired of that, though.
I know.
I mean, I want.
Well, see how much happier I am.
I want to fly. I want to fly high with an offense.
We're just
resigned to the fact that we're going to be the 27th ranked scoring offense in the league, and by hook or by crook, we're magically going to win a Super Bowl. Do you realize the 85 Bears were what, the number one scoring offense in the league?
41 points that year.
Okay, so it wasn't just the defense.
Yeah, but the defense scored like 100 of those points.
They did, and they put them on short fields.
And you had a Hall of Fame running back, maybe the greatest running back of all time, and a quarterback who was completely and utterly fearless and in his stride.
It's true.
Right? He was in his rhythm. He was in the best rhythm of his life. So you had all those things. We just discussed the receivers.
Jermaine Ifedi is no Mark Bortz. I'm just going to say that.
He's the least of our issues, too, now.
Right.
But I 23-20, I've got the Bears winning tonight.
Look at you.
Yes.
All right.
Waddle, you've got them losing.
I have them losing 17-16, but I won't be shocked if they win.
21-19, Rams miss a field goal that could win the game.
Ooh, 21-19.
21-19 Bears. Okay.
I like it. Michael, thanks for doing
this. Thank you, Mike.
Hey, we appreciate you.
This is like old times.
Yes.
Flashback. So great.
Semi old times.
Yeah, it will be really like old times when I'm back.
Absolutely.
I miss this a lot.
Absolutely.
I mean, it was great to talk.
It was great to do this. Thank you.
Michael Wilbon, thank you. Steve Levy, the voice of Monday Night Football. You'll hear him tonight with the crew. He was on with us a little bit earlier, too. We've got the points bet pregame show up next with Bleck and Abdallah. And don't forget, as soon as the game is over, you can voice your opinions with Meller and Howard Griffith right after the game. And to keep that number handy, 312-332-3776. We got a full lineup of shows tomorrow to get after it, in which we hope it's a victory Tuesday. Thanks to Bleck and Abdallah. For Michael and Waddle, I'm Sylvie. ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Monday night and go Bears.
That was a big thrill.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No high from you.
What?
No high from you.
I'd give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bum, 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 bum.
And thank you to all and to all a good night.